Welcome, everybody, to another episode of DWP Digital's podcast. My name is Stuart, and today we're discussing how we have integrated Nginx into our architecture in order to provide our teams with a secure and reliable way to access our platforms and technologies. And as always, hit the subscribe button now to make sure you don't miss our next episode. So let's get started. Emma, Dave, and Daniel, would you like to introduce yourselves?
My name's Emma Murray. I am a product owner for within the infrastructure services team, which is part of the wider DWP Digital Technology Services. I'm responsible for making sure that the service is running to our service levels, working with our engineers, our stakeholder community, that the service is delivering what our customers need, and working closely with our engineers, of which Dave is on the call, to help develop and make the system more effective. I have been in the department for 29 years now, so I'm a career civil servant, starting working one of our job centres. I've progressed from being frontline, working with our citizens right the way through to our IT, and built my technology career through the department who've supported me.
My name's Dave Glover. I'm a senior infrastructure engineer in the enterprise tooling team. My remit is predominantly looking after our asset-based tooling, for which I perform a lead engineering role on that. So I'm in the same team as Emma and Daniel, and I work quite closely with Emma. Emma is the product owner for a lot of the tools that I perform the engineering tasks on. So we collaborate quite a lot, and we've worked together quite closely in the deployment of this Nginx project.
Hi, I'm Daniel Brella. I'm a joint lead for the infrastructure services tooling team within DWP Digital. My responsibilities are senior product ownership of the tools in our portfolio, the strategy for those tools, and also the architecture that goes with them. I've been in IT now for over 20 years. I joined DWP about 3 years ago. Before that, I worked in the private sector for a managed service and telecommunications company. I've done everything from delivering complex managed service solutions through to architecture to eventually running a department with several teams that supported monitoring ITSM and automation technologies.
Thank you. So tell me about your teams and responsibilities.
Yep. So our team provide the IT operations management systems for the DWP teams that mostly cover things like monitoring, asset collection, data analytics, batch scheduling. The teams that use these products effectively support the DWP applications and infrastructure. Those applications and infrastructures obviously used by over 100,000 DWP staff and accessed by 22 million citizens, so very critical applications, and our tools support those and provide visibility of them. The tool team itself actually comprises of a mixture of engineers, an operations team, project and delivery, architecture, and product owners. We have responsibility for each of the tools in that portfolio, including the sort of the design, the build, the implementation, the support and enhancements of those technologies. The purpose of our team is really to provide a service that allows the operations teams to be able to get full visibility of everything that's happening within the estate. And that's through a mixture of sort of dashboards or reports or accessibility to tool sets. But ultimately, it's a way of collecting, consolidating and correlating data across the estate.
Yeah, I think from my perspective as being more of the non-technical, I suppose, side of things, is that the team is great where you spend a lot of time engaging with wider audiences and stakeholders. There's so much collaboration that goes on because there's so much to try and understand what people want out of your tools. So our tools can run and they can deliver our service to meet our needs. But now we're seeing, and this particularly with Nginx, is how that all that information actually can help other teams in order to drive a better service in their areas as well. So actually working with such a wide cross department groups is quite inspiring, really.
I think one of the things that has stood out for me since I joined the team 2 years ago, having always worked in the private sector for roughly about 20 years before that, similar to Daniel really, is that I was quite surprised how much autonomy we had within the team, from an engineering perspective at least, to be able to just try stuff and think about things, work on your own, to, or as part of a team, to just solutionize, if you like. So it's great that we're sort of empowered and we're trusted within the engineering part of the team, to just come up with different ways of doing things, better ways of doing things. And I've found that really refreshing, and it's been a brilliant part of this team.
So can you give me a little bit of background into the NGINX project and how it came about?
Yeah, so our team's been working on a project called NGINX, which is a technology that we utilize in DWP to allow people to gain access to technologies and platforms that would be ordinarily quite difficult to get hold of. It's a reverse proxy technology. For those people who are familiar with those, it effectively means that you can access something from a non-secure location in a secure fashion. So as DWP have a whole raft of tools, our own tools included, that sit behind many layers of security as they need to be, we needed a way to be able to provide users with the ability to access the data and the content of those tools without necessarily having to go through all of the complex steps or the security requirements to be able to get to the back-end technology, when really all they need is a way to be able to pull up data reports and things like that. Our initial use case came from the UXCC, which is DWP's NOC. They effectively monitor all of DWP's services 24/7, and they needed a quick and easy way to be able to access that information so that they can, you know, their eyes on glass, be able to see the types of things that are happening and be able to react to them in the fastest way possible. The NGINX product is one of the best reverse proxy technologies out there. We initially started with the free version, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But really, it was there to provide a simple and seamless experience for those users to be able to access the tools.
NGINX as a whole is an industry standard web server technology traditionally. And like Daniel said, we utilize the reverse proxy function of that here within DWP. To set a bit of context around NGINX as well, it's owned by a company called F5, and there's various other NGINX products in the portfolio performing all various different functions. But the one that we look at is NGINX Plus, and we previously had the open source equivalent, and that provides us with the reverse proxy functionality. There's also web server, load balancer, API gateway, and various other things that are part of that that suite of products. And the key thing for us really has been the fact that we can deploy this and enable the access from users to be able to go from their own laptop devices and connect to these very secure back-end applications and do all that seamlessly and securely. And that's precisely what the NGINX Reverse Proxy project has enabled us to do.
What are your views on using open source, established systems, or in-house development to build a solution?
Yeah, so open source often can be very great. You know, we have many examples within DWP where we're using open source technologies really effectively. Often, however, they don't usually come with the level of support or possible regular release cycles, or in the case of NGINX, the high availability that we really need to be able to deliver an enterprise solution. So in Toolin, we actually rarely use open source. We actually generally use enterprise tools exclusively because we get access to experts, regular updates, and of course, being able to talk to the support teams in the back end. DWP is made up of a lot of in-house systems. It needs to be due to the complexity of the functions that we have. We need to be able to support them, which can be really hard because we have all variations from things that are absolute cutting edge in the cloud to really legacy technologies that might be sitting in the data center that are a little bit harder to be able to monitor and things. So when we're picking a tool or a collection of tools, we really have to factor that in. So the positives of being able to develop your own solution because of the functionality and things is fantastic. Then actually being able to then monitor that effectively can sometimes be a challenge for DWP.
So what did we have in place before Nginx?
So actually, we didn't have anything before this. The only method for connectivity was to put members of staff through increased security clearance to then give them, you know, access to the back-end technologies that they probably didn't need to get back access to. So there wasn't really anything in place before we did this. The free version, the initial project part, which Dave talked about, was to try and combat that, but it had only really a very limited use case. It was only really for one or two applications. And then as time went on and word got out and people understood that actually now we can access other applications direct from our desktop rather than having to go through the more complex solution, that actually we want to be part of that as well. So it quickly over the space of time went from sort of 3 or 4 applications up to 20 applications. And with that, as Dave mentioned, you know, you've got that the issues around the high availability and things like that. Previously, it was just running on a single server. If that server went down, effectively hundreds of people might not be able to access critical applications or being able to see the important things that could be happening on the estate. So the whole point of this project was to remove that risk, to build in that resilience, to have offsite DR. So if in the event that we lost an entire data center, we have another version of it in another data center, it would be a seamless experience for those users. They would still just continue to log on and access the tools in the way that they would. So it's a real massive leap from where we were 3 years ago to where we are today.
And added to that, I think the perception of the tool itself, so it came in as sort of, well, this will help us. So we had a limited use case, we'll be able to do this. And as it was utilized, not only is it expanded, but it became from being a nice to have to actually being considered among lots of our stakeholders as the norm. It's become from a nice to have to actually being, I'm not going to say critical, but a key enabler, a key function that people are using, and they do notice when it isn't available. Not that it is not available very often, usually only if we're doing a major upgrade, and we do have to make sure all our stakeholders know. And again, it's to the point where all our upgrades now have to be out of hours, because if we try and do anything with the application, end users notice straight away, and you don't want end users to notice.
I was just going to echo what Emma said there, actually, and it's that it's exactly right. And the way it feels, or the way I like to think of it, is we now have deployed an enterprise level solution, and that's regarded as such by other areas and other teams in DWP, and it has to be treated and managed that way. Whereas previously, I would call it a cottage industry solution, or the kind of thing you might rustle up in your garage, which isn't good enough. So it served its purpose initially to enable access for a very small set of users, which it was a deployment that was put in place by a third party as a means to an end, you know. And what we've done is we've basically just turned it around and turned it into, we've scaled it out to be enterprise level.
So what software and hardware did we need to use to incorporate Nginx into our architecture?
So for our Nginx deployment, it's all running on Red Hat Linux. And previously on our old deployment, the open source one, we just had one server, just one virtual machine with Red Hat as the operating system. And our Nginx reverse proxy was running there. As we said, that's not an enterprise level solution. So it's part of our movement into this sort of the enterprise level solution. We've deployed a 4-node cluster. So what that means is that we've got 2 servers in one data center, 2 servers in the other data center, and they have a high availability failover configured between them. So if the Nginx service goes down on the master server, in one of the data centers, then it'll just immediately, within possibly less than a second, switch over to the backup, and the same in the other data center. So they're all synchronized and they're all highly available. So really that enables us to offer users a very resilient platform. And another benefit to our recent deployment, in order for users to get through from their laptops, which are in a completely separate environment where our key applications and critical applications run in, they have to be directed securely and safely through. What we've done here is we've stood up a global traffic manager load balancer, a GTM load balancer, which sits in the same domain as where the users are. So as a user is there on their laptop doing the work, they access a URL, which is a friendly name that we've set up in DNS. And in that name, in that URL, it'll have the application that they want to connect to. And this is the one that's running in the secure environment, which they ordinarily can't get to. What that'll do, when they hit that URL, they get the traffic gets routed through to this global traffic manager load balancer. It hits there. It then gets routed through to a local traffic manager load balancer, which is in the secure environment. So there, that sort of connection has been made. Now they're there, the traffic will get sent to one of two virtual IP addresses. So each of the cluster pairs in each data center has a virtual IP address, which indicates that it's the master. So the load balancer is configured to round robin traffic from one to the other. So even if one of those goes down, as Daniel mentioned before, if you lose a data center, you will not lose connectivity because the load balancer will just route you to the virtual IP address that's listening in the other data center. So it's all that together builds that sort of resilient, high availability platform, all based on virtualization technology. So it's all Red Hat running on a VMware platform. And it seems to be doing the job brilliantly.
Thanks, Dave. That's really interesting. Can we talk a little bit about how the introduction of NGINX has changed the way people work?
Okay, so introducing NGINX, obviously through its evolution from being an open source for a very small group of stakeholders, which were generally within the engineering community themselves, usually just to sort of, so they could just have a quick look at some of the information, and expanding it to the enterprise level, has actually increased the number of stakeholders that we've got involved. As Daniel said before, we started with our UXCC, which is our NOC. They provide 24/7 monitoring. So using this tool means that they can actually get into the information when they're analysing any issues a lot quicker. So it's actually speeding up the ability to resolve incidents or investigate issues. It allows them also to have a certain level of predictability. So because they're able to access the tools a lot quicker and be able to monitor them, they're actually able to maybe see if something looks like it's starting to go a little bit awry. So there's that element of enabling the predictability as opposed to be reacting. But also on top of that, we've sort of, the scope has widened across the team. So one of the key areas that came in was actually surprisingly was security. Because security, again, they have their own monitoring tool. And they were realizing that they heard that we had this reverse proxy, and they approached us to see whether there was a way that they could get access. So when you've got security, the security team themselves actually adopting this process and using it to be able to run their service and be able to react to security incidents was really quite an achievement. But it doesn't stop there. We've had our networks team that are part of our enterprise tooling team. They also have a number of their infrastructure tools as well. And once they realised how well it was working for our side of our tools, they started looking at their networking tools. So we've onboarded four of those applications in the last 3 months. So we've sort of massively increased our number of users. And in actual fact, it's sort of, as soon as you deliver one, they're going, oh, well, can you do this one as well? So they're actually using it. And what it means is their team, rather than only the staff that are security cleared that are probably a little bit more hands-on with the tool, it's actually enabling what the areas of the product managers, the delivery managers are able, and even the senior managers are actually able to get into the tools a lot easier and sort of see what's going on. We've got other areas that that want to have view only of some of our tools. So we have our asset management team, they go into it and it enables them to sort of, one of the key things that NGINX does is it's connecting lots of our tools. So whereas before you will probably only have somebody that could access one tool, so they would only be able to use that piece of information and maybe get some other information from other tools, third party, third hand, it might come through email, whatever. What this is enabling is that, for instance, the asset team are able to start looking at multiple tools at the same time and able to compare and contrast and get the reports and basically self-serve, which is something that within the enterprise tooling has not really been as achievable due to the security. So we're enabling a lot more self-serve with across a wider variety of teams. We've got our configuration teams that work with Asset, they've got access to theirs. We've got our hybrid cloud services, they're able to start looking at what's in our on-premise area as well. We've got our reliability engineers, our operations teams, enabling them to sort of actually access their tool, not just at the back end, which is quite restrictive, but actually be able to enable their remote working a lot more and be able to get reports. And the most recent one, which is something that's sort of driving a lot of the progress we've got at the moment, is a data analytics tool that we've got, and this data analytics tool, which is absorbing data from all our others. You're going, well, why do they, you know, if all that data is going in one place, then you could look there. But in actual fact, you need to see the core data in its own space. But once you've enabled all that to be collated, that user group absolutely expanded massively, and you're actually going up to director level. So you're not going to really want the directors having to jump onto a secure server in order to just read a report. So it has massively changed, and like I say, this is why it's starting to become more of a prominent tool as opposed to being a nice to have, because it's really driving change.
Thanks, Emma. What challenges have you faced in the project's development, and what would you have done differently?
With any project, there's a variety of different challenges that you come across, but it's important to remember that when you're working with IT, that you can have technical challenges, which I'll briefly cover, but you've also got to think about how you actually deliver that and the people that are involved. Being a relatively new product owner, and you joined this role last year, so I've been in it 18 months. I previously was on a team where it was a SaaS solution, so a software as a service solution, so I mainly dealt with the application. With NGINX, you're actually dealing with the build, the actual physical servers, so it was a whole raft of different areas that you needed to understand and be aware of. So when I look and start thinking about the challenges, I think the first thing you've got to look at is who's involved, the people, and probably because I am a people person, it sort of is the first thing. The technology is the enabler, so NGINX itself will do that. We can configure it, but what we want to do is focus on the people. We want to focus on what is wanted, why it's wanted, and who can deliver it. We have to understand who needs to use it. We have to see who we've got around us. So when I first started, there was one engineer that was running it because it was handed over. So I think one of the first things was looking at to understand if we start going down this development route that we wanted to do, is that we needed to have more capability across the team. We needed to increase that. So we started looking at who that would be and how we could start increasing that. So that is when Dave joined us, and he started with doing a smaller part of it and then slowly built up. A lot of it was a collaboration between the the two lead engineers that delivered it, but ultimately now Dave has taken ownership. Once you've understood that and worked out how you're going to be able to resource it, is then you need to look at what the governance is. And there are tight governance restrictions. So we have security, we have the digital authority, we have risk. And one of the things was it can take quite a long time. So I started with this vision. There you go, you're going to deliver this. And there was an expectation it was going to be delivered in, say, 6 months. Unfortunately, to actually go through all those governance rules and regulations, I think it was about 5 months. And you can't even start to actually do any building and any put out any requests with other teams to sort of build the servers and do all the firewall connections and all that sort of good stuff until you've got all those approvals, because it's the first stop. So one of the things is being very aware upfront of what all those governance restrictions are. And the other thing is there's a big change to working in an agile manner. So development in an agile manner. So when you start developing, you sort of, there's that waterfall effect where you can't do this before you can do that. So with agile, you can actually do some things concurrently. So that was one of the things that we were finding through the project, is actually at what point can we be flexible? Can we adjust? And it was towards the end of the project that me and Dave had to get together and do a quick replan to try and keep the project on target. So that was the thing, is even though it happened, it was really quite fulfilling to know that you've sort of overcome it. But I know, Dave, you had a few things to talk about the learning of the product and stuff.
I did, yeah. So I was in a fairly similar boat to Emma, really. And from my perspective, it's been fairly similar. I had to understand A, what NGINX is, B, what we use it for, C, what we're trying to do with it, and sort of piece all that together in my mind, and work with others in the team to try and understand the history of it and how it works. And what I found was, it's often the case, is theory is fine, and just sort of reading documents and looking at videos, that's fine. You get a basic level of understanding, but it's only when you actually try and do something technically and try and deliver something that you really start to get to grips with it, because invariably things start to go wrong. And for me personally, that's how I tend to learn better, is by fixing something and fixing it. You really get into the nitty gritty of the product.
We had it was towards the end, and one of the stakeholder groups that have to support us was in our identity area, and we were asking something that never been asked before. And you can't predict that. It's not possible to know at the start of a program that you want to deliver something that's never been done before. So working with that team, and we collaborated really well. It was a case of, right, okay, well, if we can't do that, well, that's being sorted. What else can we do? And that comes back down to that agile, and me and Dave were having a conversation, and I think in his head it's like, oh, well, we'll just wait till they get back. And I went, for me as a product owner, I don't know when that date's going to be. I don't know when that they're going to resolve that. So can we do this instead? And it worked. It was a simple solution, but it enabled us to complete all our testing in both environments. It meant that we kept ahead of the game, even though we were just still waiting for a way to actually migrate. So it's really good to be able to take advantage of the agile method and know that if things do crop up, there's a way to replan and refocus and still deliver. And it's having that attitude of not taking these challenges that, oh, well, I'll just wait for something to happen, or it's the end of the world. It's taking it and going, what else can we do?
What advice would you give to others if they were thinking of implementing something like this?
From my perspective as a product owner, so I'm responsible for delivering this product. I think the key messages from my point of view would be is to know your stakeholders, so understand who they are, and widen that net as far as it'll go. Understand who needs to be involved in what, because sometimes that can catch you if you've not quite engaged as way or not quite articulated something that's given you the answer. I think we definitely learned that one. And my other key one would be, if you're going to deliver anything, particularly in a technology environment, is focus on the end users. Understand what you're getting out of it, because as long as you understand that, the actual design and delivery and development of the IT solution will just fall into place. But it's how it's going to be used that'll give it value.
Preparation. So we're fortunate to have a lab environment we can use to prepare and test things and have a go at doing some implementations, make mistakes, learn, and get to know things. So having that is very important. And then that leads on to planning. So once you've got a feel for how things are going to work, when you've done your preparation, you can start to plan your activities and organize what order you're going to do things. You kind of know which bits might go wrong or might take some time. And then that leads on to the sort of the persistence. So you've just got to keep plugging away at things. Personally, I'm quite good at that. It's like if you're presented with a puzzle, you know, you could sort of have a little go and decide like, nah, it's a bit hard this, and just give it up. It's having that persistence just to stick with it, and the patience as well, just to stick with it. Keep trying things, keep working at it. And I think all those things is all together has been how I've sort of approached it. And if I was going to do it again or give advice to someone else, I think that would be the way to go.
Yeah, obviously we work for government. Governance is an important thing. I would say don't forget about the governance part. It can actually be one of the most in-depth and longest parts of a project. Emma mentioned earlier on, you know, in DWP, we have to go through various steps, design, security, risk assessments, all of these things mount up and they can take time and you can't even engage with the other teams until that they have been completed. So think governance, get all that done first and make sure that you've ticked all of the boxes, and then in a really good position to start your project.
So what does the future hold for your team? Will there be any future developments for NGINX?
So I'll start. As I mentioned earlier on, when I was talking about my relationship with the vendor. So one of the things that he prompted me to was other areas in DWP that were interested in NGINX. So we reached out to those teams and we've recently done a collaboration with them. And one of them is within our hybrid cloud services. So that team are looking to deploy NGINX as well. So we are the ones that they're coming to of what have you delivered first. So keeping that close relationship with this other team is kind of key, because DWP has got a target to go cloud first, so looking at getting everything as much in the cloud as we can. The other thing that we've looking at is we've learned that, right, okay, we've delivered the tool, it's working, we're happy, what else can we do next? So one of the things is we're looking to deploy, and we're actually at the commercial stage of this, is to bring in another part of NGINX, which is the instance manager. So with the instance manager, it will enable us to be able to be to manage our cluster service a lot easier. It will also help us to connect with our other colleagues that are looking to deploy NGINX as well. So it means in actual fact, we're going to have a better view of other areas that are wanting to use it or starting to use it. I think, Dave, there's another couple of things that you're looking at as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the instance manager is one of the key ones, and that's where I'm at my preparation stage, if you like, is evaluating the functionality that offers us in our lab environment, you know, just to get a feel for it. What can it do? Test it all out and explore the functionality of that. Because like Emma says, it's that sort of integration, and it's breaking down those silos, which you know, makes the department operate more efficiently, more effectively. And that is there's a perfect example of that, is where we can use this add-on to the NGINX deployment we've already got to start to integrate with other NGINX deployments. And you know, when you're talking about an organization, the scale of the Department of Work and Pensions, and you can imagine that there are pockets of activity that take place that are very similar or even using the same product, particularly where it's an open source version, where there isn't a central commercial, you know, avenue to go people go through. So this instance manager allows us to sort of centrally manage all our different NGINX deployments that we've got out there. It also simplifies it, and it takes away some of that manual, the manual changes that people can make. So in terms of the actual backend configuration of NGINX, there's loads of configuration files that we have, and they're spread across multiple servers. As I talked about earlier on with our cluster servers, we've also got a UAT server. So in order to seamlessly transfer updates and changes and promote those from UAT into production, it's a fairly manual process. And as we all know, manual processes are prone to human error. That's natural. What this technology will enable us to do is to automate that and do it from a more programmatic perspective. So I think that'd be really valuable. Another key thing that we're looking at, we have had in the past an integration with our major data analytics platform, Splunk, which is used very, very sort of, it's got a huge use base in DWP now. And that is our central place for performing data analytics. What we can do is we can integrate NGINX with that, and that will give us all the view of all the metrics and the throughput and all the health checks and things that for the NGINX platform. Again, where it's spread over multiple servers, it's hard to do that individually. But if you can bring it all together by integrating it with other products such as Splunk, then we have that central view, and it's not just for an engineer; it's for anybody that can look at it. So if there's an issue that somebody has anywhere that believes may be related to the NGINX reverse proxy, be it a user or someone in the 24/7 operations team, they can just hit this central dashboard and it's there. They can even look at it on the mobile device if they want to. So that's where we want to get to, is to really sort of move ahead with integration, simplification, automation, and that sort of centralized single pane of glass.
So just before we end, how would you like to see NGINX being used in the future?
In the future, we'd like to see NGINX used as our primary access point for users. You know, at the moment, the NGINX environment that we use is specific to a very to a wide range of tool sets, but it's not covering all of the different areas of DWP. We want to have a single NGINX that allows us users to be able to have that seamless experience, no matter where the technology is hosted, whether it's in cloud or in our own data centers. We also want to expand that so that users who traditionally would never have access to this information, so people who aren't part of the DWP digital hubs, they can get access and view information on things like service health for their services, or being able to you know, pull back some of these data analytics that Dave just talked about, and you know, that could be everything from a director or somebody wanting to bring something up on a machine to some really useful information being displayed in a job center, so really expanding it beyond what we do right now. And then the final thing that we're looking to do in the future is to introduce the mobile compatibility for it. A lot of our tools that we have, very similar to what we talked about before we had the reverse proxy with NGINX, in that they're not accessible from a mobile phone, and that's because of the various security restrictions that prevent that communication from the applications through. But if we can present NGINX to the mobile devices that we use within DWP, very quickly you get the ability to be able to pull up dashboards, reports, and that could be really, really powerful. It's a huge enabler for people to be able to do their jobs direct from their mobile phone, get the information they need at the time that they need it.
So that ends our podcast for today. Hit the subscribe button if you want to make sure you don't miss our next episode. And I'd like to thank Emma, Dave, and Daniel for taking part. It was really interesting to hear about your project today. So thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time on the DWP Digital Podcast.